It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today as we continue the journey to the Promised Land. And we have been to Mount Sinai now for some time, and we're going to the Promised Land. And we're going to begin today in the 9th chapter of Numbers. And so please turn to Numbers chapter 9, and we'll begin reading about the 15th verse of that chapter. A little bit of review, and then get on to the study. So please, that you turn your Bibles open to Numbers chapter 9, and we'll begin there. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're just going to read a few verses of Scripture here because we continue. We're going to be through many verses of Scripture today. And so please that you just enjoy the reading here. We're going to read just a few verses to begin, and then we'll start with prayer. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was that the cloud covered it by day, an appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as a cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. So when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. So it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. We're going to end with the 21st verse there, and we'll begin with prayer and then start the study. Father, we thank you today that we can come. I just thank for your power. Thank you for your power and your strength, your wisdom. And I just ask that you will guide and lead us today. And we desire with all of our hearts to know you as your Savior to begin with. And so please that every person that's listening today, I just ask, dear Lord, that they know you as their Savior and not just know about you, but they have this personal relationship. They have been born again. And so please, dear Lord, if they don't know you as their Savior, have them listen so carefully today, because every study we have, the plan of salvation is given. Have them as well, dear Lord, to go to John chapter 3 and begin to read the beautiful message that you have there concerning this very religious man named Nicodemus. And we just ask and pray that you'll touch all the hearts that are listening. Use that verse of Scripture, those verses of Scripture, or the area that we're in today. It's your word. Your word never goes void. So please touch the hearts of the lost, that they be saved today, that they ask you into their heart to save them. And dear Father, please help all of us to learn and to grow and to be closer to you. So just open our eyes and our hearts to your word and to your will today, that we may be stronger each and every day and know your way and know your will and surrender to it, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these verses of Scripture, and we are, again, kind of traveling through here fairly quickly, quite a speed, especially in relationship to the way I usually travel through the Scripture, which is very slowly. I love the study of the Word of God, and if you have been with us, why, you'll realize that it took 3 years to go through the book of Genesis. It took another 3 years to go through the book of Exodus. And so for us to be flying through the book of Numbers and on through Deuteronomy and on to Joshua, and we just touched on the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus a little earlier, why, you'll realize that we're just kind of giving a little survey here. But this book of Numbers is of quite a travel of the Israelites, and so I want to just take a little bit of time here as we're moving through. Hope that you enjoy it. Again, they remained at the Sinai there for over a year while they got the Ten Commandments and got the plans of the tabernacle, built the tabernacle, got everything into place. And we have just studied recently here, very recently, we have just studied the placement, the encampment, where people were to place their tribes. And if you'll remember, why, we gathered them together because Dan had Asher and Naphtali with him, Judah had Issachar and Zebulun, Reuben had Gad and Simeon, Ephraim had Manasseh and Benjamin, and then we have the family of Aaron encircling the inner part around the courtyard of the tabernacle with the sons of Aaron. There was each time God specified who was to be where. And so we have, as we look to the south, why, you find Reuben, and if you remember, they all stand underneath a banner, Gad and Simeon on each side, and then here's the banner. It is a human head, and it's red in color. And before them, between them and the courtyard of the tabernacle, are the Kohathites. And then if you go to the north, let's just go all the way across, we find Dan, and he is with the eagle, and that's red and white. Next to him, on one side's Asher, and the other side's Naphtali. And before him is the Merarites, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That, again, is the sons of Aaron. And so that is between Dan and the courtyard of the tabernacle. And if we come to the east, we'll find Judah. Judah is the lion, green in color, Issachar and Zebulun on each side. And before him, then, it is they just call them the sons of Aaron. And there each time there are the sons are placed in specific places, and God knows what He had in mind here for the work of the tabernacle. And then if you'd come to the west, go straight across through the tabernacle to all the way to the west, you'll find Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh there. Ox is the banner, and it is yellow in color. And then the Gershonites are right before him in the tabernacle. So that's kind of what we looked at last time we were together, is their placement around the tabernacle. And today we are going to move forward here very quickly and come to the marching orders. And first of all, we have just read down through here in several verses in the ninth chapter concerning the Shekinah glory cloud. And so it says a covering up, reared up the cloud, and we're going to, it speaks of it here as the cloud. We're going to call it the Shekinah glory cloud. It is the appearance of God coming down. It's His presence coming down upon the people, meeting the people, leading the people. And as we have just read from the 15th down through the 21st or 22nd verse there, we find that the instructions are very clear. When it abodes, you stay. When it comes up and off of the Holy of Holies and stands before the camp, it's time to tear the camp down, put your tent in order, get the tabernacle back to its way of moving it. They tear it down, and only to rebuild it again. And so whenever the Shekinah glory cloud would come and move off of the Holy of Holies, it's time to to move. So you tear everything down and you line up and off you go. And so he's very clear here that the 20th verse, I'll just pick it out. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And verse 22, or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereupon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. You see, there's a definite set here. God wants us to obey His word. He has made us. He has created us. We wouldn't be alive. We wouldn't be able to breathe. We wouldn't be able to function in any way, shape, or form if it was not for the power of God. And so here, when we look at this down, we see this right here. It is so important that we focus upon doing the will of God. And God was trying to teach His people, you follow me, you listen to me, and I will bless you. And instead of that, we have kind of a desire to gain our own blessings and our own power. So please, simple here. Clouds aboding on the tabernacle, you stay. It comes off of there, it's time to move. And it doesn't matter whether it's 2 days, a month, a year, whatever. When it remains, stay. When it moves, move. And you see the tents were all, again, when we just went through the arrangement of everybody all the way around the tabernacle, they all abode in tents. And so they would tear the tent down, and they would tear the tabernacle down, and off they go. Now, as we look here at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, there's a couple cross-references here as we look at that word, the charge of the tabernacle. That was given to the Levites themselves, and we had a couple of cross-references. We're not going to take time right now, but as you look, one is Numbers 1:53, another is Numbers 3:8, another is Zechariah 3:7. And if you would like at some time the next few days or later when the study is over to look those verses of Scripture up, I would love for you to do that. And again, Numbers 1:53, Numbers 3:8, and Zechariah 3:7. And so and it just speaks of the function of the tabernacle. And so when it spoke here, and the first we had down in verse 23, and then let's see where I found that in the verse 19. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so not only did they stay in their tents as they were supposed to, but also the operation of the tabernacle. There was things that took place with it that is very important. God lined all those things up, and they were to listen carefully, very carefully, to all that went on. And so, as we find now here in the 23rd verse of the 9th chapter, at the commandment of the Lord they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And so even though Aaron was the high priest, Moses still here is God's man and the go-between. Now, the 10th chapter is very interesting because we have two things in the 10th chapter. We have the not only the organization previous here that we talked about as far as the encampment around the tabernacle, but now we have an alarm system that's being set up. And that alarm system is going to be with two silver trumpets. And you have that in the 10th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make it, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And so you see, not only this Shekinah glory cloud would move off, and it wasn't up to everybody to kind of watch that, but the sons of Abraham, of Aaron were responsible for these trumpets and for blowing them, and they had many purposes, and let's kind of look through some of them here in the third verse. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All right, so when both the trumpets would blow, then they would assemble themselves at the congregation. But now in verse 4, but if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Remember when we named the heads of Israel, remember that? Well, that's what they're talking about here. And so so two blows, everybody come. One, just the heads of the families would come. And so they would gather together. And when ye blow an alarm, then the camp that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, the camps lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. So see, everything was set up ahead of time. God is so organized in all that he does. And so he sets this all forward, sets it out here of how it's supposed to be. And we just enjoy looking at how there is nothing that's undone here, nothing that's haphazard. God has everything in plans here, and so we looked at if the alarm is sounded, then the camps that lie on the east side shall go forward. If the alarm is sounded a second time, then the ones on the south side shall journey forward. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow it, but it's not an alarm. Now we find, and again here in verse 8, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And then verse 9, and if ye go to war in your land against the enemy, the oppressed that oppressed you, oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over your sacrifices, over your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so you see, these trumpets were a very, very important part of their day. And there's going to be a day when the Lord's going to call his church home, every born-again believer, not just every churchgoer, not just every person who says they're a Christian, but every born-again believer, truly born again, there's going to be a trump sound. And the dead shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with the Lord forever to be with him. And so a trumpet is, this trump sound is so important, and it's going to be an active part of all the nation of Israel, but it is also going to be a very important part of every believer's life, because that trump will sound, and we will be raised from the dead if we are already in the grave, and if we're not, why, we'll be lifted up off this earth, get our new bodies. Oh, this old body that aches and hurts and doesn't function very good, I'm going to get it replaced, and what a glorious day that'll be. And so you can see here, at war, when they blow the alarm, the Lord will go with them. And they will, he will fight for them. They are to blow the trumpet during the sacrifices that are offered, and the burnt offering, the peace offering, all that, because he says it's for you to remember me. I am the Lord your God. And then we find here in verse 11, they're about to move from Mount Sinai, heading first to Kadesh Barnea. There's a lot of things that go on between now and then, and so we're going to cover them very quickly, but I want you to see as the verse 11 tells us, it came to pass, I am in the 10th chapter of Numbers, if you've just joined us, Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month of in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Now, as we look at this here, remember the first time that the Lord spoke out of the tabernacle. Well, he is still present. He's still there. And so, but it's time to journey. Now, the next several verses here, and I want you to see those. We're not going to take time to read each one, but we have looked through the names of those that are in charge of each family, but the family name is going to be maybe a little easier for you to remember, and so we're going to stay with that. And so we find in the 13th verse, Numbers chapter 10, verse 13, not only is there much organization in their worship, they're bringing the offerings, the sacrifices, in their encampment around the tabernacle, but also in their travel. And so we have that right here. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now here's how they moved every time. First place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah. Again, Judah was to the east, and so he went first, but not before the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant always led the children of Israel. And so we find Moses first, and then we find Aaron and what we call Aaron's sons that were to the east between Judah and the door of the tabernacle courtyard, and they bear the Ark of the Covenant. And so first they would go, and next to them, but the first tribe would be Judah. And with Judah, we have Issachar and Zebulun. And then behind them and between the rest of them, and so we have the Ark of the Covenant first, which is Moses, and then Aaron's sons bearing this ark. Then behind that, then, we have the Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun traveling together. And then with them is the tabernacle of the tabernacle was taken down. The sons of Gershon and Merari set forward bearing the tabernacle. And so, again, sons of Levi carried the tabernacle proper. We have the Ark of the Covenant carried by Aaron and his sons. Behind then Judah, and if you'll remember, if you sketched that out, and I hope that you did, you'll remember that Judah and then Zebulun and Issachar is on both sides of them. See, God keeps everything together, all under the single banner of the Lion. So you've got the Ark of the Covenant, and then you've got the banner of the Lion and those three tribes. Then we have the sons of Levi, which are bearing the tabernacle and the tabernacle proper. Then behind them, why, we have Reuben. And so we've went to the south. Behind them is Reuben, and it's Gad and Simeon. And they have their banner up, and their banner is the human head. It's red in color. And then as we look down through, we find, or down to the 21st verse, we have the Kohathites set forward bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. And so the tabernacle was torn down. It was carried by the ones of center, but Kohathites, which are the ones that are between Reuben and the tabernacle. As you, I hope that you were able to make this large circle and put, Judah to the east, and then as you circle around, you'd put Zebulun, Simeon, Reuben to the south, then Gad, Manasseh, as you're coming up the circle, Ephraim would be to the west, and then up around the circle would be Benjamin, Asher, then Dan to the north, and then Naphtali, Issachar, coming all the way around. And so that's your outside circle. Then you have the inside circle with the Merarites and the sons of Aaron, the Kohathites and the Gershonites, and then the tabernacles in the very center. And so that gets your whole picture. Now, as they begin to move, they move very methodical and with the plan of God. And we move here as we come. First, the Ark of the Covenant comes out. It goes before them. Then Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun fall into place. And then behind that is Gershon and Merari and the Ites as they take the tabernacle proper. Behind them falls in Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Then behind them is the Kohathites. And the Kohathites are bearing the sanctuary. And so they're taking of it the table of showbread, the lampstand, the incense altar, that is being carried by them. And then behind them falls in the Ephraim. And so that was would be the one that would be on the west side. So it starts with Judah and it circles around first to the south, to the east, and then to the north. And so then behind them is Ephraim, and with them is Manasseh and Benjamin. And then behind them is Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. And that is everybody. And every time they traveled, that's how they traveled. That's how that God had set it up. And that's what you have here in the 10th chapter. And we have the list. I can go through it very quickly. The 14th verse is Judah, and then Issachar, Zebulun, and then Gershon and Merari is next in verse 17. Then Reuben, Simeon, Kohathites in verse 21, 22 Ephraim, 23 Manasseh, then Benjamin, Dan, Asher, Naphtali. And then the only thing that we're going to take a couple of minutes, and that's about all we have, is there's a discussion with Moses' father-in-law. Moses pleads with his father-in-law to go with him. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, and I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And this is the 29th verse of chapter 10. They've set everything up. The only thing left to do is see. Moses' father-in-law had been there. He is a Midianite, and so he is present, been helping Moses, and Moses depended upon him quite a length. And so for the Lord, this 29th verse, the last part, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And Moses knew that God was going to bless Israel, and he wanted his father-in-law to be blessed as well. And so, and he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And in verse 31 here, and he said, leave us not, I pray thee, forasmuch as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of our eyes. For it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Now, it's sad because you see, the Lord is not, Moses is not depending upon the Lord, is he? We do that too. We depend upon others so often. Let's look down now at verse 33. They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and they went out of the camp. And look at verse 35. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward, Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee from before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. They are on their way. What a glorious time for the nation of Israel to finally move from Sinai and begin this journey. And God has got it all together on exactly how it's to be. And so Moses deals with his father-in-law here just a little bit, and then the journey begins. And Moses pleads with the Lord that go before us as we travel and stay with us when we stop. And we're going to a notice here in the very next chapter. Chapter 11 is where we'll begin this next time we get together. Don't miss the study, because it's not long, even though they see the power of the Lord, that he begins to murmur. You know, we do the same thing. God blesses it so much, blesses us so much when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful to serve him and to praise him and to honor him. And he saves us. He takes our sin away from us. And he gives us wisdom, and yet we begin to murmur so quickly. My dear friend, please trust in Jesus today. What are you going to do about Jesus?